Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast where we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at NoClutchNate.
And my name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And today we're talking about minute number 192 of Zack Snyder's Justice League Part 6, Something Darker. The minute's going to start out with the Flying Fox making a crash landing, and this minute is going to end with Parademons cracking that steel metal can open of a Flying Fox that we've seen. They're busting in.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is a pretty Ben Affleck in the Batman costume minute, so...
This is a Justice League Batman minute, which is different.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's definitely like a Jason O'Mara Batman.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. I was trying to like think about while I was watching the minute and everything. I'm like thinking there's still like what is. It's not like something's missing. It's just like. It's like the borrowed action figure. It's like I borrowed my friend's Batman toy to come play in on my set, and it's like, well. You're not my Batman. So, like, it's okay if we give you, you know, cheerer dialogue, or so to say, I guess. Not even cheerer. It's just, I don't know. Because it's not like Kevin Conroy Justice League Batman, because even that is still, like, stoic and serious and, you know, monotoned, and that's, you know, animated Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. It is a Justice League Batman, but there's so many different types of Justice League Batmans. Like, it's not a Grant Morrison Justice League Batman.
Right.
It's not JLA Batman, but it is, the closest thing would be the new 52 Justice League Batman, which is in the animated movie universe. It was Jason O'Mara who voiced Batman, so I've always kind of like, That's what they want. They want a Batman who is not crazy, not, you know, like the Bruce Timm type of Batman where he was very like, it's totally different. This one is all kind of like, I've got a lot of money. I'm high tech. I can get through this. No problem. It's this style of new 52 Batman that we see here that, he just has a lot of gadgets, and he's very mercenary-like that he can, you know, we see here in this minute, he's crashing the Flying Fox. He's telling the team, like, yeah, don't worry about me. I got this covered. Climbs down several floors of this Flying Fox, and then he gets into the Batmobile. Or so yeah. It cuts right before it. The Batmobile does anything, but... You know, we see that he's getting near it. And he's totally calm, collected. There's a bit of suspense as the parademons start showing up. And it is really cool to see, like, the shot of the Flying Fox as it finishes crashing into the building. And then you see all the parademons. So, like, there's scale to this minute. And then, like, it has the interior shots of the Flying Fox. And, like, one of my... favorite parts about this minute is this shot that we're looking at right now.
The catwalk shot?
Yeah, where he's you know, he's done at the cockpit. He's leaving it. The camera follows him as he jumps down one flight of stairs. And then, like, he's going to continue walking while also talking to the Justice League. It's a really cool Ben Affleck in the costume as Batman minute. Like, it's really cool to just see all that happening with the fog machine and the sparks flying. Like, it's a really cool set piece that they got going on here. And then with the scale of Pejornov, you kind of get this, like, again, what it felt like in Dawn of Justice was like Batman out of his element in this, like, apocalyptic battlefield. Like, that's what Zack Snyder does really well, and that's why this minute I really like now that it is Batman and not the Flying Fox as the character. I really enjoy this kind of setup that's going on. But yeah, it is a Justice League Batman, and not exactly the Batman that we saw in the last movie, which is like he was totally out of his element, but he was not this well armed, you know, with all the
I gotta
the
say,
battle stuff on him.
I still think he was cooler in Dawn of Justice. Now I've blown enough smoke with this whole movie about how this Batman and everything, and I'm not saying that he's not cool. It's just I've seen cooler Batman.
it's
kind of just
sci-fi
falls,
now.
Yeah, it falls just a little flat. Also, this whole 60 seconds really, really feels like just the punctuation of yesterday's minute and everything that we were talking about yesterday. Like, it kind of just all confirms everything that we were saying yesterday about more so just Batman doing his own thing and going off to self-sacrifice for whatever crazy Batman reason he needs to have. But it seems like this minute is very much like a bold italicized period. And that's like, it's like, this is it. That's it. This is the end. You know, you get like Batman's side of the plan. And I wrote that sentence and added my period at the end of it, but I was writing with the quill and it's got really expensive ink kind of thing. It's classy. Yesterday's minute was still classy in a Justice League sense. You know, it's tasteful in a Justice League sense. And then this minute here with Batman, just, you know, the audience actually seeing where Batman's mind is, it seems just like a very, just a very fancy period. Just a, yep, that's it. That's the Batman that we're getting in this movie. There's cooler Batman stuff to happen later on. And like next week when he is, like you said, in the field and everything, even after the Batmobile scenes and everything, there's some really cool Batman moments in that, especially when he's on the tower. Yeah, it's cool. But again, it just kind of enforces this, I don't know. It seems like it's out of nowhere that we got this shift in how Batman is handling the situation with the team. Because this is his third?
That is kind of hard to say.
It's this is his third group outing that they've had. So, like, in theatrical version, you see all over the place where Batman's, like, staunchly against the team working together as a team in every aspect, you know? This movie, we didn't get that. We actually got him, you know, sometimes it was out of the element. Sometimes he didn't know what to do because he didn't know how to communicate to a team and all that stuff. Here, he still doesn't know how to communicate to a team. So it kind of just seems like, again, I'm still stuck on just like the one man suicide trip that he's thinking that is necessary. It's like that's kind of out of character, but it's not. It's like it's in your character, but you've progressed. I've seen personally within these 4-hour movie that I've been watching, I've seen you progress past that.
Yeah.
So I know you're capable of it, and yet you're falling back on your old habits for absolutely no reason whatsoever. You have your team now, and your team has boots on the ground now. And now your idea of your boots on the ground is to just go in guns blazing and get as much attention on you as they can. Now that I'm saying it out loud, it's like, it makes sense from a Batman perspective. But again, you've just spent so many months putting this team together, and yet, like, your idea of getting the team together stopped at reviving your best friend. Once you got that done, you were like, okay, F these kids. Like, you're on your own. I already saved my friend. I know he's going to show up and help me because he's my best friend kind of thing. It's like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah, so they had the plan, right? They were in the Flying Fox, all five of them. They were talking about what to do with the Unity, the Mother Box, the Power of Love. And they said, this is the plan. That's why I brought you guys together. And he drops them off. And then he goes and does this. And then they're like, the comm's dead. And then Wonder Woman's like, okay, let's go. Let's go save him. Like, you guys had a plan this whole time, and he didn't tell you about this one part where he was going to do something really stupid again.
Yeah.
And it's like a classic Batman. Of course, it's not stupid, right? It's just, it's Batman. He's got his all, got it all figured out. Prep time. It's still, though, kind of selfish, Batman. And you need to stop it. And there is a difference. I mean, you know, not just comparing to the Batman in Dawn of Justice, but there was a, you know, a different Batman in that fight in the Metropolis Project. When we covered that, that was Dawn of Justice Batman fighting a parademon with a grappling gun and then being like, well, I need the Nightcrawler now because I need to up my game a bit, right? So you kind of see him like struggling to fight one parademon. And then now you've got this action figure Justice League Batman from Injustice 2 Cosmetics over here. And it's a totally different action figure that you've got now. So the story treats him differently now. He can do all this now. Like, he is a superhero, but I don't know. I still think what I said yesterday could, like, if we could, you know, have control over the universe and like change part of this movie, would be like just keep the whole team in the Flying Fox trying to get through, and they get through the barrier, they take out the tower, and then he's like, I gotta, we're crash landing, yeah, and all five of us are still in here.
Yeah,
they just brace for impact, and then they do it, and then he's like,
don't worry, right, I brought just, the car as well. Just, like, well, open the garage.
Don't worry. Just get to the Unity, you know, and then the parademons open it, and then the Batmobile will do its thing that we see tomorrow. But then
everybody else can also leave out the same garage as well after the parademons leave.
Yeah, the splash page that we're gonna get later in this week. Like, just do that then. Like it pops out, and then the whole Justice League pops out right then and there, and it's like, bam.
Yeah, Trojan horse.
Five super, like, yeah, Trojan horse. I don't know why I can't too, say it. Like,
was that too on the nose to do a Trojan horse? Were they like, no, we can't. We can't do a Trojan horse, guys. Like, we already did that. Or what? I don't. Maybe. I wonder if, like, you and I are completely overlooking some, like, blatantly obvious, like, dumb kid superhero logic that we're just like, oh yeah, of course that's why Batman would do that, and it may be sticking to us right in his face, or we may have already said it and just been like, yeah, you could have done that, and then on to the next thought. It just seems like it's hitting.
Maybe Zack Snyder does like the Western heroic trope of sacrifice, you know, and like, Maybe that's what he's still kind of hooked on, and like he's saying, like, you know, Batman to go do this is sacrificial, but it's also heroic to some people. Whereas we're saying, no, you just got the whole team, you're good. They care about you.
Yeah, you know, they want. But then again, okay, that's like you didn't. But you wrote your character to learn that lesson in mm-hmm. two movies, and he did learn his lesson. So why didn't that lesson get put into play, whatever the phrase is, you know?
In Justice League War, Jason O'Mara's Batman does the same thing, right? Where he's like, hey, Parademon, come take me away.
Oh, yeah, and he does it, and he takes his cowl off and just does his thing and saves Superman and stuff. Yeah, he does that all on his own. So like I said yesterday, it's not like we haven't seen him go in guns blazing without a care to his well-being,
mm-hmm.
you know? So like, that's still very on par for Batman. But why did you drop off your team miles away? Why did you drop them off there? You were all going to the same place. Get to the Unity. It's like, okay, cool. You were already in the city, dude. You already broke through. What, you think that the demigoddess Amazonian warrior, the kid that's got ungodly super speed and the literal human robot wouldn't survive your plane crash compared to you? What are you talking about? They should have all have been in your damn plane. Like, yeah. They would have been your best bet for that thing not falling out of the sky. Cyborg could have been in there fixing the thing as it was flying or going or something, or found a correct sweet spot to hit before you'd mashed mm-hmm. up your wings and broke. I don't know. See, now I'm picking it apart. Like, now I'm getting angry at it. I don't want to be angry at it.
No, you're fine. It's just, it is what it is. It's playing with toys, right? And it's like, if I'm sitting in a round table with other people who are creating a superhero third act, and it comes to the point where you're playing with toys, I'm going to play with toys my way and think, like, this could be a really good story scenario, right? Yeah. And that's what we're doing right now. And the idea of the Flying Fox being a multi-troop transport for a Justice League, a superhero team, part of me wants to be like, we can synergize the Flying Fox itself. Like, is there a way that Cyborg could have been a way to open the dome a little bit for the Flying Fox to get into it? But it could have worked in that way, that Cyborg could have helped the Flying Fox out or something. I keep seeing this shot of this Flying Fox hit the building, and I'm every time I see it, I go, is that a miniature or is that visual effects? Because it looks very
visual effects.
It looks very realistic. So kudos to the effects. Roll it back, because I mean, it kind of looks like a physical prop is hitting it. Obviously, that's all VFX. I guess that's VFX.
It's gotta be all VFX. It got me with the boat in Dawn of Justice. I thought the boat was real. I was like, that's a real boat. That's a real boat. And they flew through it. They only had one chance to get that car to fly through it just right.
Yeah.
Another thing I was going to say in the beginning of this episode, when we were talking about the different types of Batman, or the different personalities, you know, as portrayed by other actors and such.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My mind immediately wanted to go to a Bruce Greenwood, a Young Justice version of Batman. And I really like that version. It's Bruce Greenwood. He played Captain, Star Trek, the Chris Pine one. Captain Pike. He played Captain Pike in the first two Star Treks.
Oh, yeah.
Give you a little face to the name. Also, in that one Carla Gugino movie, what was that called? Gerald's Game? Is that what it was? Where she gets tied up and the wolf comes and he's got a heart attack. And
yes, that was
Gerald's Game.
Mike, forgetting the name. People are screaming it at me. Midnight Mass, the Fall of House of Usher. Matt Flanagan, Mike Flanagan, Mike Flanagan. Yeah. Yeah. That's his.
There you
movie.
Go. Anyway, so I was just
obviously
thinking,
because Carla Gugino is in it and Bruce Greenwood.
And his Batman is very much so like an animated series, Kevin Conroy, which is cool, mm-hmm. which is awesome. And I also just like the tone of his voice. I think he plays a very good monotone, deep voice guy that can be scary. Anyway, so I was like wanting this Batman to like fall more in line of, I guess, something that I've already seen, a team-up Batman. It's not just been my inner voice reading a Batman from the Justice League comic books in my head, because that's always Conroy in my head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This Batman, oh boy.
It's just not what Ben Affleck signed up for. And this is the type of Batman that he originally was like, no, I don't want to do that. And then Zach was like, well, you know, that's not the kind of Batman we want you to be. We want you to be like, you're older and you're 20 years of being Batman and you're like this more serious. And so he plays a Bruce Timm Batman in like the second movie and in the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
But then this is like, I don't know.
We got to get you to change. We gotta you got to change it up.
This is like it's Jensen Ackles, like so. Batman. And it's just cosplay Batman at this point.
It's cosplay Batman.
Yeah.
Again, the goggles are getting me. The goggles look like they scrunch his face, but like it's not possible because it's outside of your mask. So I don't.
It's the shape of the goggles.
Yes, but like I didn't think of about that when I look at Night Owl. you know. And it's the same goggles.
You don't? Because I see it.
I see Night Owl's goggles as it being more owl-like with the angulars versus him having a Batman cowl. I always thought it was just like...
I guess because you don't see the strap around it. I always thought it looked like, oh, it's just the Night Owl Watchman. It just looks like the same thing. But... it doesn't work for me. I think just the shape of the cowl has always been weird. It's always looked more cat-like than bat-like. And I really liked the Batman cowl in the last film. I thought it was great. The goggles, I just wish they would figure out how to do the light-up eyes again like they did for the armored suit. I think it can make it look a lot cooler, especially with all the fog. And, you know, if you want to make the film darker and you know, pitch in the darks more, like you could have the whites really pop out like you did in Dawn of Justice. Like, I think there's a cinematography thing that's happened here that could be better because the second one was so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have to get action. We know we have to get action figure Batman in this act. I think it then just becomes like opinion, right? Like, or preference, like.
Yeah. And just becomes down to like whoever's making the best model in the draw room or whatever, and which one you're going to go with. I see what you mean by it looking more cat-like. Like cat, airplane mode cat too.
It's
like
airplane mode cat. I've always thought about it. Yeah. And it looks even worse when he doesn't have the goggles on. Like when he just has this cowl. Without the goggles, it looks like it's just like it's airplane mode cat is what I've always I've always seen this. It's okay, it's fine. We'll get through it. But yeah, I just think I've like the armor plating. I like how they're kind of like clipped on to the suit. I like that a lot. Obviously in The Flash we see a much worse Batman, so we know that it can get worse. So this isn't that bad. It's just the cowl I would totally change. But yeah, I always thought like with the, like the reason they went with this new different cowl, I don't know, besides making it more aerodynamic, it's like, well, we want him to look more like Night Owl because that Watchman was a superhero team. Like subverted, but now we have a traditional one, so we want to show what that looks like.
Yeah, and if you want to get into the whole parallel Earths or whatever you want to say, it's like it's in line. It's kind of like, oh yeah, your Night Owl also exists in this universe, but this one's Batman, and vice versa. Batman exists in that universe, but it's Night Owl. So
in this universe, we have Peacemaker and not the comedian.
Yeah. So like it makes sense. Especially coming from like a Snyderverse, if you want to call it that, you know, all of his movies type of thing, where it's like, okay, I can see where your progression is and like where these can connect to. Just like there was a comic book back in the New 52, towards the middle of the New 52, it was the actual Batman Superman title, and it wasn't World's Finest. It was just Batman/Superman.
Yeah, Batman Superman by Jay Lee.
The Jay Lee version. So like it's kind of like that. You can see like, oh, Jay Lee's universe is this Earth, and everything on that Earth looks like that, and it's all that gothic dark line work and swirlies, and it looks sick as hell. But like, you can kind of tell like that's that one universe. So it just, you know, thinking about it in that terms, where it's like, okay, so this is still a Snyderverse superhero. He's going to have elements that should match up with the other superhero universes that he's known to make. I guess if you want to put it in the same boat as like a Schumacher type thing, it's like, okay, you get your Schumacher, you know, movies, and your heroes look like Greek gods, and they're all chiseled out of marble and everything. And it's like, yeah, of course. So let that kind of be the little director's hat tip or whatever.
Yeah, it definitely feels a little bit more Schumacher. And I the talk about the goggles, it really brought me to think about like Nightmare Batman, because he has goggles, right?
Yeah.
And then we also know like the Nightmare Batman will show up later in this film. But I want to take like the comparison of where we are right now. So we've progressed to the point where he's like, this is it. This is the team. We're here. We're the Justice League. I'm Justice League Batman now. Look at me. I got all this armor on. I'm ready to go. I'm the newest action figure. This is like the peak of it, right? Because then we have to go to Nightmare Batman, who's got none of this armor. And like, you're at rock bottom. The parademons have taken over. And you don't have this. You have nothing of this suit.
Yeah.
In the future. I'm just trying to wrap my head around that. Like, is that a good thing? Is that a plot hole? Is that like, what about all that armor you made for this specific moment when parademons take over? It's like, nope, I'm back to the suit that I had in Dawn of Justice, and I've got none of this energy dissipating armor plating anymore that I really could use if I was fighting Superman.
So our argument would come back into play of, when does future Barry go back? At what point is future Barry going back in time to change the prime timeline? And at what point in the nightmare timeline does he go back to negate all of this new armor stuff?
You mean, like, correctly? Like, when was the right point in time to tell them, hey, don't do any of this?
Well, technically, this is it. Supposedly, you know, because this is the prime timeline and everything does work out. It's just,
the future has taken root in the present.
Yeah, or whatever, but they say. We also didn't get a follow-up to this movie, so we don't know, like, how... So if the nightmare sequence was, you know, row D, let's just say D, it was row D.
What is this,
and we
Excel
got
sheet?
To see Flash go back in time and fix and correct things twice. So we got A and B. And so we're still missing timeline C that would show a Flash going back and actually saying, like, I'm too soon or I'm too early. It's either going to be one of those, and it would actually play out as him being too soon or too early. Now it's just going to get into time travel logic, and it all falls apart because it's
paradoxical.
There's
no logic. Yeah. There's no logic.
So, you're right, though. Like, where, if nightmare sequence is point D, what happened in point C? For him to, what happens in points A and in point C for him to lose all of this armor? And then which one of point C or D is the correct prime timeline?
The problem is that Barry, the sad truth is that Barry can never like fix it without it just not to really quote the Flash, but like, you've just created a new spaghetti, right? Like, You can't fix it. You can't make it correct. Like, you're just going to create another permutation, and it's got all of its own ugliness too. And it just is what it is. You know, Mortal Kombat's going through that too right now. And
really,
this will be like, what, the second time they've reset now because they reset with Mortal Kombat 9, and now they've reset again now with Mortal Kombat 1, and they did do a Flashpoint, basically. They did Flashpoint it.
Wait, isn't who's, oh shit, okay, this is right now, it's Mortal Kombat 1,
yeah,
before, and so they, it was the game before was Mortal Kombat
11.
Okay, so who was Thunder God in 11?
Raiden.
And then who became Thunder God in 1?
It became the Fire God, Liu Kang.
Okay, so Liu Kang is now Thunder Liu God. Kang, now you're telling me the reverse in the effects of Liu Kang being Thunder God?
No. He, by becoming the new Fire God, he then had possession of the Hourglass and reset everything and created the universe several times trying to make it as best as he could. It's a spoiler for the story, but like everyone, like it starts off thinking like he just reset it once and was like,
yeah,
I've recreated it in the most best way possible. And then the reality is that he's failed many times to like create a peaceful version of the world.
I think that's what happened in Doomsday Clock with Dr. Manhattan. Making New 52 and then making everything else after that. Because he was like, New 52 is good. And they were like, nope, New 52 is not good. Wipe that away. Make it another one. And he's just playing in puddles on Mars.
Just clear the chessboard and start it all over again. And so, yeah, Mortal Kombat DC, like they, I guess Mortal Kombat took a page from DC and was like, Ed Boon was like, I want to do a Flashpoint. And so they redid it all. And then obviously it's already on such a weird track already, because it when you reset the universe, like whether it's Flashpoint or whether it's DC or whatever, like there's parts of it that you want to make weird. And so things like, you know, Sindel dying and then Melina becomes Empress of Outworld, it's like, oh, this is weird already, is this a good thing? And here with like this DC cinematic universe, it's like, yeah, it needs to get weird. Like Superman needs to die sooner and then come back already, and this Batman is, he was 20 years into the game and now he's back, and now he's Justice League Batman. Like he's Justice League Batman after his like what would be almost like a Batman Beyond or Dark Knight Returns Batman,
yeah,
instead of like vice versa. Like in the Dark Knight Returns he was Justice League Batman first and then forced to retire, and then became who he was. So this is what we have now.
I'm not complaining. I know this whole minute sounded like me just, you know, crying and
I think we're allowed to complain at some point, to be honest. We're doing this for so long. And like, you know, as we've been talking about it, like it really is just playing with action figures at this point. So we can have fun talking about like, like remember when we played HeroClix? Like that was our grown-up version of still playing with action figures, where we were just like, well, I have Batman and Magneto, so I can like make up my own fucking story,
yeah,
of how I want to play this.
Yeah
probability control.
Like I got Green Lantern, he can do barriers unlimited, so just like barrier up, and you know, it's a stalemate at that point.
Yeah. So it'll be fun. What I really look forward to now is this Batmobile thing tomorrow, because that's another thing. Like, we're going to get a Batmobile scene tomorrow. There was a Batmobile scene in Dawn of Justice. I'm trying to think, was there more than one or was it just one? I think it was one, and then
Suicide Squad had a Batmobile scene.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? Yeah. And so I want to compare that one as well. So, this is going to be it for me. It's overall beautiful set with the flying fox. One last good look at it. This him pulling the lever down to do all the sparks and stuff and saying they're here. Like it's a very iconic moment. It was in the trailer and stuff. Definitely was one of those moments where we were like, yeah, we got Ben Affleck in this Batman costume. Let's do this.
And if, you know, if I was on set and everything, I would be fully encompassed and, you know, be starstruck and having all of those feelings of, yes, it is Batman in the outfit. Mm-hmm. And he does flip the breaker to turn all the lights off and he's going to go Batman. Like, absolutely. Yay. I'm here with it. By the way,
I'll be in the back just staring at him. Like, can you see in that thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Over here, he's reaching for the handout, just patting the wall. Where is this thing? Alfred, so Bruce, where is this thing?
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to say. That's just my last note. He put in that circuit breaker, that switch off, whatever, for a reason. And it is purely theatrics because it's a whole circuit thing. And it's right in the open. There's no glass. There's no, you know, break glass here if you need to turn all the power off or anything. It's nothing. It's not even, you know, the only thing it's missing is just painting that handle red so everybody would know that it's like the shutoff switch. Yeah. But still, I love that
big Looney Tunes handle.
Like, he thought to put in the theatrics of that because he's like, okay, yep, I got to turn all the lights off. And it can't just be, you know, Bluetooth Philip Hughes on my little watch and turn everything off. I got to have a big cyberpunk style handle.
Lever.
Or steampunk, industrial punk. Industrial
it's punk.
Industrial punk handle to shut off and make all the sparks go boom, because that's what I do. And you know, mm-hmm. what? I love that. I still...
It's a big thing. You would tell someone, hey, don't walk into this thing, because if you bump into it, it'll shut all the stuff off. And you'd, mm-hmm. be like, well, why is it so gosh darn big? Like, you're telling me not to walk into this thing. Like, there's no protective cover. Like,
nope.
Barry Allen
in a cage. Like,
his apartment,
doing,
right? He like flipped open the casing, and then it's like flush against the circuit breaker. So it's really cool Zack Snyder shot that he does. It's very hip, modern, and cool thing that Barry Allen does when he turns on his apartment or wherever the hell he's living. But here it's like, no, this might as well say Acme on it.
That's an Acme fuse box. And,
yeah.
You know, so it comes in two pieces. One is the whole box. The other one is the handle you got to screw in.
Mm-hmm. Sam Otten and I, we went to the Madame Tussauds Justice League exhibit where they have, yeah. all the wax figures. It was really cool. Fantastic time. I need to get back into Twitter just to, like, post about it. Because it was so cool, we took so many good photos. But that circuit breaker right there looks like the interactive stuff that they had there that would have been that obvious, like, hey, pull this lever. In fact, there was a lever for the Flash that looked like this.
Was it for his apartment?
He was in the street, and it, like, he was like in a running pose.
Okay.
And like, you flipped the circuit breaker, I guess, because of Barry Allen's apartment, right? So it was, yeah. like, it was that thing. But yeah, that's what this looks like. This looks like what they use in Halloween Horror Nights terms, a guest activated trigger.
Yeah.
GAT. That's what it looks like. That he's doing here. cool stuff.
Yeah, that's all I got for this one.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, well, we're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover the show as well. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can find us on Twitter at DCEUMinute. And if you'd like bonus content, we have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you here next time on DC Cinematic Minute.